Welcome to the Wise Women Collective Show.
Join hosts Lynn Schuessler-Williams, Holly Hartman, and Brooke Haynes with their inspiring guests for conversations that fuel personal growth, career success, and community impact.
Tune in to connect and amplify your power, because when women rise, the world follows.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Wise Women Collective. I'm Lynn Schuessler-Williams, and I'm here with Brooke Haynes and Holly Hartman. Hey, everybody. We are talking today about something that I think is a really important idea for women today, especially to kind of take a look at and embrace. Might be something that comes up for all of us, and that's resilience. Resilience. Think about that word. I mean, I went and looked it up. I thought, I think I know what that means. But honestly, I was like, okay, let's all be clear what it means. So here's what it means. The capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties. Or it can also mean toughness. So that's what it means in regards to people or institutions. But I loved the second definition too, because I think it's a good analogy for what it means to people. And that's the ability of a substance or an object to spring back into shape or elasticity. So resilience can mean, I guess, one of the things that brought up for me was that it can mean my ability to be flexible, right? And to things come in and they impact me, and then I go back to me, right? To my full self. So anyway, so resilience. What did anybody else feel like? I better go look that up, but me. Maybe that's just me.
Well, I like that we have a common definition, but Brooke, what was your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm in the habit of looking words up, because I have seen how many times I have made up my definitions. I mean, I know I make up words, but the definitions too. So I've been in the habit, when I start to talk about something, to go look it up and see the definition because of that. And this time I felt like I was on target. I didn't realize it was an or, toughness or, you know, persistence. I thought it was an and, but that's okay. I felt confident with my definition. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. What about you, Holly?
Yeah. You know, for me, I'm neurodivergent. So like thoughts just flood in of like, what does that look like? How does it show up in my life? How is this? And the first thought I had, because I'm a trauma-informed leader, was there are times in my life that I heard people say, resiliency is my strength, but there's also this edge to it of like, but I really wish it wouldn't have to be that way, because life was challenging for them, and, or they're a trauma survivor and they're like, yeah, that's great that I'm resilient. I've built this skill, but man, if I didn't have to also experience it, that built up that skill, that would have been great, you know? So, and I got chilled. Like, that's what my first thought was like, yeah, it's great that we can.
You remind me, Holly, of a friend of mine told me one time, don't pray for patience because you might get the opportunity too often to learn to practice it. That's kind of what that reminds me of. It's like, if you really ask to be resilient, you may get shown lots of opportunity of challenges and things to be resilient from, right? Like challenges or opportunities for resilience might not be fun to go through, right?
I have my fair share of those through my life.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know, and women in particular. Boy, when I think about myself as a young woman, like in my early 20s and all through my 20s and early 30s, I would even say, like that good maybe decade, 12 year span. When I think of all the opportunities I had to be resilient in that, you're right, it did give me some skills, right? But it also was very challenging. And I guess every age and stage, there are those opportunities, but that particular stage really stands out in my mind. Yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting question. Like, So I wonder for our listeners, like, how have you ever been resilient, and how do you, you know, how do you see it? Do you see it as a, yeah, I can come back from anything kind of superpower? Or is it like a, I guess I'll be resilient again kind of feeling at this point, right?
I think it's also a subjective kind of thing to look at, because it's kind of like trauma. Like, I don't think there's a human that hasn't been through trauma, and everybody's trauma feels as bad as the next person's trauma. And so when we say, oh, that person's been through some trauma, so was that one and that one and that one and that, I think that's what part of life is. And so then when you look at resilience, is that the same way? Because someone who we might not think is as resilient, because maybe they're acting on certain behaviors that we think are clearly still in their trauma, they may feel like, yeah, you know, I've been homeless for 6 months and I am still going. I am resilient. And we may not say that that's resilient because they're homeless. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's also one of those words that, how do you identify as, and how do you, it is subjective. Yeah.
And, you know, I can imagine that we would all think there are degrees of resilience, yeah, and there are degrees of things to come back from, but I can't judge anybody else's degree of it.
Right. It's like when someone is described as resilient, what does that person look like? And then I'm like, well, then again, Brooke, it comes back to the person. But I've been described as resilient to a lot of people because I've kept going. It's more like kept going. And then when I get knocked down, I keep going. And when I get knocked down, I keep going. And, you know, there's persistence in that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that persistence is definitely part of that definition. That's the capacity to withstand difficulties, mm-hmm, is that persistence piece. Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking as we're talking that might be helpful for the listeners is when we first heard that word resilient and we started this conversation, maybe a time in your life where that's shown up so we can kind of share a story behind it potentially. Or like you mentioned, Lynn, some of that period of time for you. So interested, was there a particular story that like just popped in your head about that and like what that resilient aftermath kind of looked like for you that you're willing to share?
Yeah. So... that I'm willing to share. Okay. It is that kind of thing. It's a very personal thing for me in my personal development as a grown ass woman, you know, as a very young, like before I turned 20 through my 20s, my relationship with men and my relationship with myself in relation to men was really where the thing was for me. You know, I had an early marriage that didn't last very long, although it had lasted for quite some time before the marriage. So it was a long-term relationship through those years, as well as near the end of that, becoming married to the person who I'm married to now, all these decades later, and who I had children with and all that. And that development of my relationship with myself as I see myself in relationship, not only to the men I was in romantic relationship with, but the men who I was in relationship with at work, who were my bosses, who were my, you know, coworkers, who worked for me, right? Who were vendors and contractors that I hired who were all old enough to be my father, you know, those sorts of, all of those dynamics gave me opportunities for resilience, opportunities to withstand difficulties, opportunities to bounce back to my normal shape, my being, and develop some sort of kind of toughness. Yeah.
Brooke, I'd love to hear what any stories came to mind for you when you heard resilience was the topic today.
Yeah. Actually, it's something my stepdad said out of a circumstance. So I was, when I was 15, I was pregnant and I placed that child for adoption. And I remember him saying, I don't know, months later, I don't know how many months later, not too much later, but I was back in school. I, you know, everything was, and he was like, I just want to tell you how proud I am of you, because you could have chosen, you could have chosen to stay where you were or to choose a different path, or, but you've really jumped, came back into where you were, and you've excelled at it, and you've continued to move on. And I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. And that's when, so when I hear resilience, I think of his words describing what he saw in me through that experience on the other side.
Ooh, I got chills.
That share. I love these type of questions, because for me and my neurodivergent brain, it's like it floods all these things, but then I try to like slow it down enough to go, but what was that first thought? What was that first thing? So when I do connection questions, that's what I try to hone in on. No, what was the first thought? Because you could tell a million stories. We have lots of them. But the first thought that I had was when I was a year old, my first year, born into this world, I was sick, really sick as a baby. And I spent at least 6 months of my first year in the hospital because they couldn't, I was allergic to milk, mom's milk, goat milk, they could not figure it out. I was 13 pounds at a year old. So I spent more time away from my family than with my family. Oh my God. So I came out of the womb abandoned. My family didn't abandon me, but as a baby, you don't know that, right? So much of my resiliency is to create community because I didn't have it in that first year of always adapting to the surrounding to go, okay, am I okay in my surrounding? And so that's the first thought that I came out of. It's like, I didn't have a choice but to be resilient from the very beginning. And then that's what's played a pattern in my life throughout.
But
when I asked ChatGPT too the question, because that's Chatty B and me, we like hang out a lot, and I asked it, and it was like, you alchemize, you create from adversity. And that is what my pattern, my whole life is. If it doesn't exist, I'm going to build it for me and for others that need it. And that's how my resiliency pattern shows up, is creating spaces. And Lynn, I know that's one of your patterns too. And so it's like, we create spaces we want to be in because we need them too.
Right.
Interesting, because when you shared that story, and thank you so much, I never knew that about you, Holly. I love this story, and I'll tell you why, is because that little baby who knew nothing different but was surviving and thriving, you know, on is there's a thread of that baby I see in you every day. And I'm like, wow, that makes so much sense, that because intellectually you didn't know anything different but to thrive and survive. Right. And so you figured it out, and you figured that out. And that's how I see Harley Hartman, is she figures it out.
Yeah. And I can hear Brooke saying, before we knew Holly, Brooke used to say about me, and now we both say it about Holly, that, you know, just give her an idea in 10 minutes and it'll be made into something, right? Yeah. And the challenges of creating new things, right? The challenge, the difficulties of putting things out into the world, right? Most people, if you say to them, hey, I want you to create something big and put it out into the world and all that, they go, oh, Nelly, right? And all three of us go, okay, let's go. And by next week, it's out there, right? And so that, I think, is a part of this willingness to show up and expand, and this resiliency of, you know, I think of a like a foam ball that you can squinch down, but then when you let it go, it pops back in, right? Like it expands and does its thing. I think that's a great analogy of that feeling of that.
I just thought when you said,
can y'all tell we like this?
Yeah. I had this thought that came over when you were talking about that. But I'm going to let you all speak first, because I think I need to process a little bit. Sorry. I'm just going to let y'all talk first. I'm like, it's landing. And I'm like, I don't want to speak too abstract. I got to make sure y'all know what I'm talking about.
Well, what I hear in some of our stories too is we all shared a part of our story, but also where that, and this plays into Lynn and everything that she does and teaches, is we have patterns that start from those experiences, right? And so even if, yes, that was our experience, but how our body reacts to it and feels it, like you saw, like if you're watching, you saw me tear up, you saw me go back to that crib. And I was thinking in my head as I was sharing it here, I'm like, I might need to do a reset it session over this thing. Although I'm a little scared because the resiliency as we're labeling it today and discussing it is one of my superpowers, right? So like there's a fear of releasing that to go, if I release that, do I miss my super? And I know that's not true, but in my mind, those are the thoughts that are like competing with each other.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I hear it from people all the time about different things, Holly. I'm so glad you said it too, because here's what I would say to that. And just to be really clear, if it's your superpower, you can't lose it. And we have some echo, y'all. Can y'all hear the echo? I don't know. So if you have a superpower, you can't lose it. What you can reset is the program or the conditioned response that doesn't really belong to you, that wasn't here on day one when you got here, that you picked up. Now, it won't change the you. What it'll change is the filter that doesn't belong to you through which you see the world and yourself. It allows you to choose your superpower without it being this involuntary filter. So I would still say, you know, we can all, I've done my reset at work around those men. I'll tell you that. The men I talked about. Right.
Now I know why I had to process for a second, because we needed to hear that part. Because what I was about to say, I was like, oh yeah, I remember, was when you were talking about the three of us just put it out in the world, right? And it comes from this place of, oh, well, if it's hard, let's make it like for me. Well, let's provide this for other people. Let's provide this for other people. And that alone, because there are things we've done just for ourselves. Right. And because we've done it for ourselves, other people really got a lot out of it, because, you know, just like Unleash Your Unstoppable and Collab Code and things that are happening right now are very much aligned with who we are, because we want to be in it instead of just what we want for other people. And so when I first, the first circle, the first part of this when I, was, and so we produce it, I want to give to someone else, I want to give to the other people so they don't have to go through this. But then after you just said what you went, well, from a healing spot, it would be more of, I'm not here that I have to provide for other people. It's like, look at this space that we've created, because we thought it would be really fun. We wanted it. And now you can come play on our playground too, if you want to, because we love people playing on our playground. All right. We love friends and collaborators. So,
and yes. I think our playgrounds are all pretty resilient too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And I want to go back to what you said, Holly, about going into ChatGPT. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
And
what was your you gave us a great idea earlier, Holly, and you and I both did it immediately. I don't know if Brooke's done it yet or not. Oh, you did? Yeah, good.
So I do this a lot because it helps me process my thoughts quickly. And so I'll go in and chat. Me and ChatGPT are like besties. And we, you know, to the point where I got a speaking opportunity not too long ago because somebody researched ChatGPT and my name came up and I got to be on a panel. So that like brought me so much joy. But to answer your question, Brooke, I put in there, I said, based on what you know about me, because it knows a lot, because I feed it a lot, you have to train your ChatGPT. It can't, like, if you've never given it anything, it's not going to know you. So mine knows me well. Based on what you know about me, in what ways am I resilient, is what I asked it. And the reason why is sometimes there's when I have an opportunity to learn about myself in a way that it's like, there's times when I want people to give me feedback about myself, not validation, but just maybe blind spots that I don't see about myself, or things that maybe I don't celebrate enough in myself. And I will sometimes ask ChatGPT, like, what is that? So when I posted in there, and now my phone died on me, but It was like, you show up, you build spaces. It's like, you are a resilient queen. I'm like, thank you very much. It always makes me feel uplifted in the way that I show up. Oh, it came back on. Good. So I wanted to share the brief tagline of what it said, of some of them. It gave me like five things. It said, your resilience transforms pain into purpose. We hear that a lot, right? Of what people want to do. Your resilience carries the weight of wisdom and heart. Well, we're the Wise Women Collective here. Your resilience allows you to evolve, not erase. Yes. Your resilience is rooted in hope and belief. Your resilience is community-centered, not self-centered. Like, and then it said, in short, you're resilient because you don't just recover. You rise, rebuild, reimagine, and reach back to help others rise. I'm like, yeah, that's what mine said. It made me happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And mine said some similar things, Holly. It said, one of the things that I think I heard in yours that was in mine was, mine said, you turn challenges into creation. And I heard something like that in yours too. But the short version of mine was, you are resilient because you live your life as a creative act of reclamation, expansion, and generosity. I was like, ooh, I want to hang out with her.
Me too. I do get to hang out with her.
That was fun. Yeah, that was fun. What about you, Brooke? What did yours say?
It was somewhat similar. What I thought was fun about this was that there was ways to look at resilience so differently, right? Like Lisa's, Brooks, the way you're emotionally resilient, the way you're adaptive resilient, the way you are visionary resilient. And I thought, oh, wow. And those deeper dialogues and these deeper things really felt much more like me. The summary I really liked, and they are very, the summary is very similar. It's your resistance is not survival. It's active transformation. You don't just endure the challenges. You grow through them. You adapt in your environment and you expand your purpose outward into the world. It's not just grit. It's evolution for you.
Woo!
So I felt like that was true. And it circles back around to what I was processing is getting clearer and clearer. We do that. We've all in this, on this room, Zoom room, studio room, wherever we are, we're not even on Zoom. we are those people who take our challenges and we grow through them and then we share, or sometimes when sharing is when we're growing, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I relate to that because so much of what I do is I teach through whatever I'm growing through. Like I learn better and grow better through teaching through it. And that's why I evolve so much and why sometimes I change up what I do so much, because I'm like, well, I've already learned that now. Like, I'm ready to learn something new. So I've transitioned to the next topic or whatever it is that I'm creating. And now what I'm creating, I get to evolve continually. So I think I'm on the right path now. So this has been such a fun conversation.
It has. It's amazing, isn't it? I love this idea. And, you know, so I have one last question for us quickly for each of us. And that is, what do you see as the big opportunity for women in embracing resilience today in our society? Like, what do you see for women collectively or individually? Yeah, Brooke.
I think it's community growth, unity, community, and growth. And what I mean by that is, you said, what do you see as the big, tell me your question again, because I'll link it.
Like the big opportunity.
Yes.
It's for that, women.
It's the unity and growth and community. And that's not the same words, right? But it's as we're resilient, we bring people together. We come together to the core. Right. Not be able to be in community. Therefore, we can grow and be united.
Mm-hmm. I want to do that for sure. What about you, Holly?
I think what I hear and what like feel because of the climate of which we're in, especially here in the United States, that it's imperative that we build this skill in order to move through what is current. And that resiliency building is going to allow us to expand back out. Like right now, a lot of people probably feel crunched in like the little ball, but it's imperative that we learn how to build that back out so we can have unity, community, and all of that. So it's a singular effort to build that skill, but it is an outward experience that everybody benefits if we can build that muscle. I think it's more of like building a muscle, like working a muscle in that way too. And knowing that, and stay out of the shame of it, like release the shame of why we may have to be resilient and empower in it and to be able to move through what I feel like we are called as wise women to shift what is currently happening. And Lynn, I think we should end on that one quote soon of like what you said about what Western women, because I think that relates to all of this, but
I was just thinking that. I was really just thinking about how the Dalai Lama said years ago, the Dalai Lama said something like, I'm paraphrasing, Western women will save the world. And I think our resilience as women, not just Western women, but worldwide women, but the women of the Western industrialized world have the resources and the all of that normally to be in the position. That's why he saw that way, I think. And I do think that our cultures and the things that are going on in the world today mean that we get to practice our resilience in ways we may never have expected to again. Like we see how things are, but we don't even know how things are going to be. And the truth is, that's always true, right? That's not just true because a particular person's in office or whatever, but it's more in our face now than it's been in a long time. And so I think, you know, owning resilience as women as a choice, not as a program, not as a social program that you heard somebody on a podcast say, oh, we all need to be resilient, but as an individual choice is where our power stands. So I encourage our listeners to ask yourself about your own resilience, your story of resilience, and, you know, where you're going to take it today. And thank you for being with us on Wise Women Collective Radio Show. We are excited to have you join us at our free events at wisewomencollectivehq.com. And we'll see you soon. Say bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Collective Show.
We trust you're leaving inspired, empowered, and ready to make a difference. Keep the momentum going. Join our Wise Women Collective community at wisewomencollectivehq.com.
Connect with other women, amplify your power, and together we'll continue to rise. Until next time, stay strong and connected, because when women rise, the world follows.